1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. The next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. We're all gonna die.
And joining us on joining us online here is Country Joe McDonald, and that's part of your history, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And of course, this is we're coming up to the 40th anniversary of that event, and you're going to be involved in a whole plethora of activities about them. Is that correct?
Well, it looks like it. Yeah, I got some gigs. With the economy, we don't know how it's going to actually play out, but that's the plan, is to do some shows with the Jefferson Airplane and Candide.
And I guess one of the things, too, and of course there's been some talk about whether the whole Woodstock thing got too commercialized and whether it ever kept to its real true spirit. And where do you sit in all of that?
I think it's become mythology now.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was... The original Woodstock, and then there's been several others after that, and there's been in that area quite a number of Woodstocks, smalls and big ones, but it's certainly part of the myth of music and culture for America.
And Joe, one of the things that you have done in over the past few years, reviving it, and then I think it goes way back, and I want to hear the story about it, is that you have also put together something that captures the spirit, the essence, the legacy, and the life of Woody Guthrie, a show called This Land Is Your Land. It's a two-act musical, theatrical tribute to Woody Guthrie. And how did that all come about? Because it wasn't just something that occurred to you a couple years ago.
No, in 2001, I was asked by the John Steinbeck Center in Salinas, California, if I would do a live show to accompany a traveling Smithsonian exhibit of Woody Guthrie memorabilia. And so I thought, well, I would sing some Woody Guthrie songs. I was the first person to do a Woody Guthrie tribute album. I did it in 1969 in Nashville. And I grew up with Woody Guthrie music. I just took it for granted. My parents had it on 78 records. And my father came from Oklahoma. He was a Dust Bowl refugee, too. So I thought I'd sing Woody Guthrie songs, and I started digging around in my archives and found some stuff that I liked, some spoken words, some letters that Malvina Reynolds wrote to Woody Guthrie in the hospital, a couple songs, not by Woody Guthrie, but by other people, one by his son Jody, and a little bit from my father's autobiography, and I put them all together in a theatrical piece, and I've been doing it ever since, and people seem to be liking it.
And it's coming, of course, this Thursday to the historic Nevada Theater in downtown Nevada City, a venue that has hosted such illustrious other folks as some guy named Mark Twain. So you're gonna be joining his ghost on stage.
Yeah, that's interesting. When was the place built, you know?
Back in the 1800s, and I know it's been operating continuously since then. Obviously, if Twain spoke there, that has to put it back into the 1870s or what have you.
Oh, great.
And I guess when you do this Woody Guthrie thing, do you end up feeling like you channel him, or is it what? How does that work out?
No, I don't channel Woody Guthrie. I mean, I grew up. My father was from Oklahoma, an Oklahoma farm boy like Woody Guthrie, and part of me is a little bit of Oklahoma anyway. And the show is me talking about Woody Guthrie and Oklahoma and how it affected my life. You know, I don't No, I don't pretend to be Woody Guthrie in any way, but I do, I guess, take on some Oklahomanisms. They're sort of natural to me anyway. I've grown up with my dad.
And I think, you know, the keeping the spirit of someone like Woody Guthrie alive and letting people know that there was more to his life than just, say, one song that kids learn in school, Seems to be an awfully important function, you know, when we were looking here at the forthcoming 90th birthday of Pete Seeger and the passing a year ago of our beloved Utah Phillips here. Some of these great figures of folk music, we want to be able to remember them in every way that we can.
Well, I'm delighted that people want to see the show. It's been very successful, and I'm quite surprised at its success. I put it together for a one-off thing, and since then I've done it in the UK and in Canada and across the United States, and it seems to have some lasting power too. There's 13 songs and a lot of spoken word. It's 90 minutes long, and you'll learn a lot of stuff about Woody Guthrie in an entertaining way that you didn't know before. It has a lot of stuff, and it's quite different sort of tribute than the normal Woody Guthrie tribute that you would see.
What's one of the things that about Woody Guthrie that surprised you when you started doing more research on this?
Well, the thing is that I didn't do any research on it. I just reached into my bookshelf and I picked the favorite stuff that I liked. You know, I guess I was surprised that it fell together so easily for me. You know, the beginning, the middle, and the end. I didn't really assign myself the project. It was a gift in that way that it just fell together.
And the and you recorded, like you said, an album, a tribute album to him back in, I think you said, back in 1969.
That's correct. I did it.
So it's celebrating its 40th anniversary then too.
Well, actually, I didn't know that. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, I'm good at this math stuff.
Yeah, and those players on that album had recorded all the country western hits, but they'd never heard of Woody Guthrie before. They were very conservative Southerners, those players from Nashville who recorded on that album. And Marjorie Guthrie said it was the best Woody Guthrie music she'd ever heard played, you know, and that's probably true because these were people who played with Elvis Presley and Chet Atkins and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, someone was, Norbert Putnam was in on it, and gosh,
yeah, they're great. Grady Martin, they're great, great players, you know. So they treated it as country western music, which it is. It's, Woody didn't really write a lot of original melodies. He adapted his lyrics to pretty much traditional melody.
And you also did a traditional country album with the same players around the same time, right?
Yeah, I did a country western album called Tonight I'm Singing Just for You. That wasn't so successful. It's pretty hard to just go into a genre with being an interloper, you know. Some people get away with it, but for me it wasn't. I didn't get away with it.
How did that come about, though?
I got a solo album, a solo contract for Vanguard Records when the Country and the Fish had their own contract with Vanguard Records in New York City, and I got a solo contract to make some albums, and they were trying to figure out what kind of thing I would do. And I grew up with country western music. I grew up next to a little city next to Baldwin Park, which was the home of Town Hall Party, which was Grand Ole Opry West, and I saw all the great country western players on television on the Grand Ole Opry show when I was growing up, the Collins kids when they were just little kids, and Chet Atkins and Rose, Maddox Brothers and Rose and everything. So I thought, well, okay, I'll do. I guess being named Country Joe had something to do with it. But the thing was that we had 3 days there, and those guys were so good that they recorded. I mean, it became obvious in a day and a half that we would have one album done, and we had contracted them for 3 days. So then we decided, we thought, what can we use these guys for? And then we did the Woody Guthrie album as an afterthought. And that's been the one that has had legs, as we say in the business.
And that's economical use of some top studio musicians that you were going to be paying anyway. Well, yeah. Somebody was going to be paying.
Yeah, we had to pay them for the 3 days. And you know, on the country western album, it's interesting because the Jordanaires sang background. They're the people that sang with Presley. So that was great. It was great to do all that, you know, in a career in the span of 30, 40 years or something. You do a lot of things, and some of them are commercial successes, and some of them are successes in other ways. And I'm just, you know, thankful that I got a show and people come to see it and they like to see me. It's a pretty kind of, I'm feeling a bit like the three faces of Eve here, because at the moment I have a 40th anniversary of Woodstock show that I do, which is made up of the songs that I sang at Woodstock solo and with the band, and of course the psychedelic hippie stuff, and then I also have this theatrical piece that I do of Woody Guthrie, but I also have another piece that I just put together of the life of Florence Nightingale, which is made up of songs that I wrote about Florence Nightingale and it's spoken word, some of her writings and about her life. So I get a little bit, if I start talking about Florence Nightingale in the middle of my Woody Guthrie show, don't be too surprised.
And what made you want to track down her life?
I started in 1981 with the meeting of Linda Vandevanter, the Vietnam War nurse who wrote an autobiography that was the basis for the China Beach TV show about Vietnam War nurses in Vietnam. And I told her that I would write some songs about nurses, and I started researching nursing and discovered accidentally Florence Nightingale. And I've just been, her life is so interesting in the Victorian era. So that's an exciting thing to me to go to perform in this music hall, because it's of the Victorian era also. So that's another little twist in the thing for me in my life.
Anything else that these days that really captures your imagination and your time?
Well, you know, I'm working on an autobiography, which is pretty much written, a chatty kind of anecdotal thing, and a CD called Songbook, which is just me and the guitar and some of my best known songs, and a DVD documentary film made by Claire Birch, a Berkeley filmmaker, that'll be in a package called Gimme an F, and it'll be a book and DVD and a CD package that's going to come out. We hope to have it finished by June of this year for the 40th anniversary of Woodstock, and you can get it, find out about it from my website countryjoe.com, and you can actually advance order it now, and I don't know who's going to publish it. We'll self-publish, and I don't know who will distribute it, but that's definitely in the works right now. We've been working on it for a couple months now, and it definitely will be coming out.
Well, Country Joe, we thank you very much. Again, you're going to be at this Thursday night at the Nevada Theater in downtown Nevada City, 7:30 p.m. It's a benefit for the Foothill Theater Company, which is working hard to keep their doors open in this economically stressed day and age. I also read over the weekend that nonprofit theater in the United States is expected to take its biggest hit in the coming year, according to the New York Times and according to talking to some of the top people. So you're doing your part, though, to keep theater alive and well, and that's very much appreciated. Ticket information number is 530-265-8587, and advance tickets available at the Briar Patch Bookseller, Yabobo, and Cherry Records here in the foothills. And there was one we talked, I think, one time in studio here probably about 5 years ago, and one thing that always sticks with me, and we won't go into it in great detail, but you were talking about your relationship with Janis Joplin, and I believe that you said that you and your band moved into a flat in Berkeley, and you didn't feel like spending a whole lot of time there because you had no furniture, but Janis Joplin had lots of furniture, so that's why you spent a lot of time there.
Well, we didn't have any furniture, and she did have some furniture.
It's always stuck with me. It's so funny. I don't know why.
Well, that's a funny thing to say. Yeah, actually, it was a long trip across the Bay Bridge hitchhiking to get to her to get to her house, so I don't think I did it for the furniture. But.
I don't think so either. But anyway, but it's something that's always stuck with me. And we thank you very much for joining us here. And best of luck to you with all of the Woodstock stuff and Florence Nightingale and bringing This Land Is Your Land and the legacy of Woody Guthrie to more and more people, keeping his words and his music alive.
Well, thanks for having me on the radio, and I'll see you all in a few days.
All right. Joe McDonald joining us here live at live on the radio or on the phone here at KVMR FM, Nevada City.
Long about 1825, I left Tennessee very much alive. Through the Arkansas mud, if I hadn't been riding from the Tennessee stud.